So you need usually buy like wipes and diapers and like the best way to do it is to give you guys some resources, some funds, and then you guys go out and shop the stuff. Is that
how you correct? Do it? Yeah. You know, we really, you know, to that end, shop the sales, go to different places. We really try to, especially in the world today with the cost. And I personally, I'm looking at it right now, a box of Huggies for 192 of them, which seems like a lot. It is not, you know, obviously, you know, you had kids, you know how fast diapers go. It was $52. It was over $52. So the cost of those things is super high now. It went up, you know, was $14 in the last since December. So just to even garner those things, it's taking more and more resources to try to help them out with the wipes and the diapers. And then we are our efforts with the toys are trying to fill up a 25-foot trailer and deliver them. Well, Santa really delivers them. He comes in kind of his summer gear. And it's amazing. My son had the privilege of meeting Santa last year during this event. And he was just enamored with the whole concept, as I know the kids are too. And, you know, we are still, we're not clearly out of, you know, the pandemic world. But, you know, so they were only able to visit last year through the glass and everything. They weren't allowed outside to visit Santa. But we're kind of hoping that they might be able to do a closer meet and greet for the ones that could. But we'll see kind of how things play out, what restrictions might exist. But yeah, so kind of just getting back to it, the resources tend to be, you know, limited, and $5,000 would basically meet our needs. It'll give us an adequate
amount. That's the goal. $5,000 is the goal.
Yep. That's what we're trying to raise and get diapers and wipes and sorry for all the giggles. Yeah, so $5,000 to diapers, wipes, and toys, and we make the toys and like my dad had said, anything that's washable, so that they can reuse it, kind of ties it, and you know, multiple kids get to enjoy it.
Now, when you did it last year, what happened? You guys rolled up, and the kids weren't allowed outside, so they were just kind of at the window looking on, and
they Pediatrics, they brought one child out, and we unloaded the trailer and just kind of put it out front, and the staff carried the rest inside. And at shop, the kids were at the windows, and they had made signs, because they obviously know we're coming. They made signs, you know, with motorcycles and the rolling badges is the best, and the four heroes, and because we're a law enforcement organization, you know, they drew police officers on police mic, and it was just extremely, you know, heartwarming. The joke was it was very hot last year. It was like 100 and some degrees, and everybody was wearing sunglasses saying, oh, it's the sweat coming down their eyes. And I gotta be honest, Mike, you've known me a long time, it was tears coming down my eyes. It's just a big thing we do. We do a lot of things. We have another event we're coming up at the end of August for a 3-year-old little girl that has leukemia, and that's a battle, and her parents have issues. But this is our one of our big events that we do yearly. This is our 9th year in a row doing
it. So there's another family. There's a girl with leukemia. I guess when you say the family's having problems, that would be financial usually. With everything having to do with something like that type of a challenge, massive, just shock to a family unit.
It's a younger family. The grandfather is a professional firefighter and a fire marshal in Camden County, New Jersey, and the uncle is a retired New Jersey State Trooper. And they reached out to the Four Heroes charity along with an organization called All Geared Up in Runnymede, New Jersey, who sells, you know, first responder equipment, stuff like that. So we kind of partnered up, and we're trying to put that together. Our goal for that one is to raise $30,000. And we feel with a lot of support and a lot of corporate support, and we're going to hold an event that's obtainable. We think we can do that.
Yeah, it takes I've seen it here, you know, with my wife and everything, tell me stories. It just takes a massive hit on the family financially. People out there say, well, there's all kind of different aid you can get. Well, aid doesn't pay the bills in many cases. Right. And of course, aid has been depleted in many cases. And there's not enough of it. And it's usually the first thing that's cut back in different budgets, whether it's state or federal. And so there are people out there saying, well, don't I pay taxes? And can't they handle some of this stuff? Well, they do. It's just that there's more of a need for it now, especially a lot of folks and a lot of kids are going through hard times after the pandemic. So there's more folks trying to tap these resources. So,
well, with the bureaucratic red tape that you have to go through to garner these resources, it's funny that you said that because I told somebody 2 weeks ago, yeah, well, it's funny. I need to eat today, and your family needs to eat today. And if you waited for the red tape to go through, you wouldn't be eating for 4 to 5 to 6 months from now until somebody makes a decision. And that's just not plausible. It's really not. And again, no matter how much money you raise, it's not enough. Again, in this case, it's a younger couple, and we got sad news last week. We did an event for Christmas for a girl in Nashville, Tennessee that had leukemia. She's been battling it since she was 10 months old. And we helped her in December of 2020. And some of my members are Philadelphia police officers. And, you know, we bought a bicycle and the Philadelphia police signed all kinds of cards and just sent everything we could down to Tennessee to make this little girl's life a little bit better. She turned 7 2 weeks ago. On her 7th birthday, they admitted her to the hospital, put her on a ventilator, and 2 days later, she passed. And you know, my members, the first thing they said was, well, you know, was she able to at least enjoy the bicycle and the toys and the things we sent down there? And a relative said absolutely that, you know, she was able to do that. But, you know, here's another family with a 4-year-old that's kind of battling the same thing. And, you know, with me having 2 children, you having 2 children and grandkids, I just can't fathom it. So I believe you have to pay it forward and step up and do whatever we can. And that's why Deneen created the 4 Heroes Charity. And as the founder of the Rolling Badges Law Enforcement Club, we partnered up and, you know, we do this as a joint effort throughout the year. And you helped us and your listeners helped us out tremendously at Christmas with a little boy who was very sick. So that's just what we do. In today's world, like, nobody wants to pay it forward. And, you know, police officers are getting shot and killed weekly. And nobody understands the good that they do behind the scenes with charity work and, you know, everything's defund the police and, you know, you just have to pay it forward. And, you know, my law enforcement organization pays it forward constantly. And the 4 Heroes, with the request we have, we could use $500,000. There was another charity that I talked to that, somebody wrote them a $575,000 check so they could buy a building. I couldn't even fathom that, but that would be a nice check.
It would be a nice check. What happened with this young guy we were able to put some funds together for Christmas? Do you have a report card on how he's doing? He had cancer as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing well. He's holding in there.
Yeah.
You know, he's still in a battle. The family's a little bit better off. We'll see what happens again at Christmas time if, you know, they're still in a bad situation financially, then we will, again, step up and buy them a Christmas tree and decorate it and do the same thing we did last year. We, you know, like the old saying goes, no one fights alone. So, and you don't ever leave anybody behind, so we don't forget the past. And that's what I mean when this family reached out to Nashville, Tennessee, to give us an update that this poor little girl had passed away after, you know, fighting for 7 years.
It's almost really, I always say this to my wife, it's almost unfair. You know, you look at these little characters and they have to handle so much just vicious adversity at such a young age. They don't even have a chance to really to get started, and they're already battling this stuff. It's just vicious to watch. And anything you can do to help, you're just like, man, I wish I could do more, because, you know, you can only imagine what these little guys are going through. It's very... tough.
We helped a child out in Runnymede a couple of years ago that same situation, had cancer, and they were in a financial situation. But the toll that it takes, that I don't know that people understand, the toll that it takes on the siblings. You know, because mom and dad are taking care of the sick sibling. They're running back and forth to doctors and hospitals and whatever. So the other children kind of get put on a back burner a little bit. Their needs become secondary, which is understandable. You know, and most of them are troopers, and they understand, they get it. They just want their brother or sister to get well. But we also were cognizant of that, and we try to, you know, help them as well when we're taking care of the family in need, that we keep in mind about the siblings and their needs as well.
Well, when you caught me by surprise when you said you were crying, because you're one of the toughest bastards I ever met. I mean, you are a guy who can... What'd you say?
Not when it comes to kids.
Well, I mean... kids.
He sends me onto the front line because he is in, you know, he's had a lot of unfortunate experiences with sick kids and tragedies in his line of work. And truly, you know, I think it triggers some of those bad things in a PTSD sort of way.
Yeah.
And so it's stuff where it kind of works out. It's ironic that you brought up about it being different. It's absolutely different. Things hit differently now that I'm a mom. You know, you don't realize what life is going to be like, and then you have your own, and I empathize with these families so much. But, you know, I've been able to, like, follow. They have, like, Facebook groups and some of these families, so you are able to kind of stay in touch, and these families keep in touch and, you know, update on the progress. And there's one family we've been following for the last, like, 10 years. He's been battling. He's had ups. He's had downs. He's kind of on an upswing right now. But, you know, he's in his teens, like graduating high school almost. You know, and it's so remarkable to see any kind of impact that we've had. But, you know, I'm the one that kind of is at the forefront of keeping an eye on these kids. Not that he doesn't want to know, and not that he follows, but, you know, it is tearful for him, and he takes to heart, kind of, obviously, as a parent and now grandparent, things like that. But he handles some of the other tougher things, and I handle some of the kids stuff, you know? And then, like I said, I want to bring them all home.
Yeah, if you only could, right?
I would.
That's a challenge.
I absolutely would.
It makes you really think about, you know, if you're cruising down the road and you got some problems and you got some challenges of your own in your own family unit, and then you visit these kids and you see these kids, you spend time with them, or you hang out with the parents and learn with, and you come away saying, man, I feel like such a lowlife for thinking that I had problems. I mean, it really puts things in perspective. At least it has for me, at least, you know.
Absolutely. Same, you know, my husband, who is not here right now, but, you know, would say the same. We say, you know, he says all the time, like, we got so lucky, even in any of the misfortunes that we've had, you know. And like my dad said, you know, I've had my own bouts with the red tape and this and that, and waiting for people to pay for things. And, you know, there times get tough, and you know, but it's nothing like that. You know, I always told my husband, I said, if anything ever happened to our kids, I'd quit my job at heartbeat. We would sell everything that we have. And then I realized, you know, on the back end when I meet these families, but you can't, you know, you can't liquidate everything because you still have to provide in one way. And like my dad kind of mentioned, the sibling, it's like, what do you do? And now that I have a second, I'm like, I tell my husband all the time, I don't know what I would do. I would quit my job. But that's an unfortunate strain on my husband too, you know? So a lot of things start to come into perspective of, you know, does mom stay? Does dad stay? Do both stay? Like, what happens? Like, which one has to keep working? Which one stays with the kids? You know, it's so multifactorial that, you know, you have to keep every day-to-day thing running, but also be an advocate for these kids while they're undergoing all this. Even the kids that are kind of in, you know, these facilities, you know, how do you be there? And maybe that's why people, you know, they don't go and they don't visit, and, you know, it's easier that way where they're not looking at them. I'm not sure. I try to put myself in that situation, and I just can't, because I know that the only place that would feel right is to be with them and to provide for them. But that's, I think, what makes me a mom.
Well, very well said on all fronts. First thing about strain on your husband, he's just going to have to deal with it. I mean, you're an Italian.
And he would be the one.
So shut up. You're the last person. You're the last person on the list to complain. Be quiet.
And yeah, he would never. He always says, you know, the kids need their mother.
You know what you signed on for, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's an interesting perspective. These kids, I'm just at a loss. I was talking to my wife about it, and we might come out on the 23rd, you know, for your event, for the event.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just, it's mind boggling me. I said to her, I guess they just live there. I mean, they go to school. Nobody visits them. What is happening? I don't understand.
They just have the staff. The staff, like the, you know, respiratory therapists, the physical therapists, the nurses, the, you know, directors, the ancillary staff. They become more like family.
Yeah, it's stunning to me. Like, because I thought, okay, you can do a Christmas in July, right? We're gonna get some like toys, and you're gonna blow into town. Santa Claus is gonna blow into town, and all this stuff, and the kids are gonna be happy, and then you come to find out, wow, that it's just not about toys. It's about basic things they need to exist.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and you're right. It's not that we're buying toys just to, you know, give them this glimmer of hope. It's truly like the things that we're purchasing, there's a developmental aspect to it, right? Like, you raise kids, there's developmental needs, there's developmental toys and things. Right now I have a train truck that's across my floor with my 3-year-old that is, you know, playing and building blocks and, you know, putting things together and, like, you know, trying to figure out the world. These kids need those things too. And in a facility like that, they don't always have the means to be able to provide them with, you know, the stimulation and the development and those appropriate toys that all of them might need. So this is where, you know, events like this kind of come into play. We are able to provide not, you know, just fun time things, but also developmentally appropriate, you know, milestone toys and things that will engage them and, you know, mentally stimulating, like, you know, the STEM toys or physically developing, you know, play mats, ball things, you know, simple things too, but, you know, things that, will help their growth and progress.
Yeah, which is a good thing. Why you guys purchase these things, because you know what you need. If I'd show up with the Evel Knievel, these kids would be like, what the hell is this thing? Evel Knievel camper and the Evel Knievel rev up motorcycle. You could jump it from bed to bed or whatever. You know, they'd be like, this guy is a fool. He's got all
that too. But, you know.
There's something wrong with this guy. We said it was a toy drive, and this guy went haywire.
Yeah. But, you know, they like all the same things, you know, just because of the nature of their situation. They love all the things. I mean, all of the, you know, light years out. I just took, you know, my three-year-old to his first movie the other day, and, you know, Buzz Lightyear and things like that. The kids love all of that stuff. And
yeah, it's good stuff. You know, stuff is a steady stream. Now, of, you know, kids of all ages like this. And the parents like it too. Parents like some of the shows and the movies and things like that. I always quote Monsters, Inc. And I'm my kids are like, you know, in their mid-20s. And I'll just go into a Monsters, Inc. thing at dinner. Like, what's the matter with you?
Those things sick, yeah.
Okay, so last time we tried to put some resources together for the Young Bucks over Christmas. Folks contacted you. What's the best way to get this done? Because we have a lot more listeners than we did back then. You know, times are tougher, but I'll tell you, man. I tell you, your dad needs help. He needs help. Now he's just lashing out, yelling out. It's only a matter of time. Folks, you know, it's tougher times, but we have more folks, and we have a lot of generous folks. So how can they get to you? How can they, if they want to make a difference, how can they? What's the best way?
Your listeners have been a godsend throughout the months. And some of them, you know, really split it up as a monthly thing through PayPal. There's a link on our website, forheroscare.org. You know, so it comes in the way of a monthly donation, and we kind of hang on to it for, you know, appropriating it at the time, or kind of, you know, collecting it through the year when, you know, this Christmas in July kind of comes about. It's, you know, whatever they're kind of earmarking things for. But some people have sent checks to our P.O. box, which is also listed on the website. Some people have just done, you know, one-time donations through there. You know, it really, there's one particular person that does, you know, a $5 donation every month, and he's been doing it for years. It's all of it really 100% in, 100% out, and all of it goes to a great cause. We don't take anything for it. I pay for the overhead. My dad pays for the overhead. Whatever our costs are, it's not coming out of donations like that. So the money that is coming in from your listeners goes directly to our cause at hand. And, you know, a lot of them have been able to do that through the website or contacting us directly.
Yeah, so it's for, the number four, then heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, charity.org. A lot of folks out there failed grammar and failed spelling, and they can't spell heroes correctly, and it's understandable. You know,
I told you I'm a nurse. I happened to be in the hospital a couple months ago, and there was a sign in the hospital about the heroes, because everyone loves their nurses and doctors, and I just kind of shook my head, remiss, and said, well, we can't spell heroes. It was wrong. And I just left. And I'm like, this is what happens with Four Hero Charity. So it seems simple, but a lot of people will misspell it, and it won't take them to the appropriate place. So I do say that. But,
when I was a young journalist, Dean, I was a young journalist, and I misspelled it on something.
Well, that's what autocorrect counts.
And I said, well, there was no autocorrect. Are you kidding me?
I wasn't.
I was like movable type. We were moving the letters around. Like, I said to my editor, the word is spelled, okay, I spelled it wrong, but the word technically doesn't need the E. We need to change the entire word. This is confusing to people.
It is confusing.
But anyway, so it's forheroscharity.org. I'm on the site now. You go to the site at the very top. It says, home, who is Four Heroes Charity? And then in the middle, support, donate. You click on that. And this is a lot different than a few months ago, right? Would you guys make some big improvements on
it? We try to keep it fresh and updated.
Yeah. I like this. Donate today. It's easy. It was seems more streamlined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have Venmo. That's charity. Oh my goodness, I was just saying this to you. It's Four Hero Charity that they can send it directly to. Same thing for you know, the number four hero charity. So we do Venmo or the PayPal. That link that you're on right now will go directly right to PayPal. And like I said, I think all the way at the bottom of that website, there is the P.O. box. And then forheroescharity@gmail.com is also the link to send anything for PayPal. So there's, we try to keep multiple avenues and we kind of keep up with the times of what is trending. You know I use Venmo all the time. PayPal and Venmo are connected, but, you know, people like Venmo nowadays. And so we try to keep it updated and fresh.
And for all the cheapskates out there, you guys are a nonprofit organization. They can write this stuff off on their taxes, right?
Yeah. 1,000%. 1,000%?
Or just now you're talking.
1,000 per boy.
So if I give you 100, I can write off 1,000. I like this charity.
Well, that's up to the government what they want to grant. But yeah, for large contributions, we do issue a tax write off to the donor.
Yeah. So
I want to say one thing.
Yeah. Besides, I'm sorry I made fun of you a couple of times.
You can make fun of me all you want. I just want to say to your listeners, for years and years, I want to thank you and Deb and your kids and for your personal support and your financial donations to the Four Heroes charity. You're not the guy who talks the talk, you walk the walk. And I don't know that your listeners know what you do once we hang up and you call me back and say, well, this is my contribution. And it's large. It's large. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, you know, for doing that personally.
You're outing me. You're dragging me out of the closet.
Get out of the closet wild. Yep, that's all right.
Well, now that I know that there's 1,000% write-off, things are going to change big time. No, I appreciate that. You didn't have to say good things about me, but it'll help balance some of the bad things people will say about me today. So it's we need more things on the other side of the scale for sure. But we're happy to do it because you guys actually, you know, I think we gave to some groups before, Les, and they're like, after a while, I'm like, you see these cats, like their lifestyle changes. The people who run it, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm a veteran and we're doing this thing. And the next thing you know, the cat's driving like a Lamborghini. I'm like, wait a second here. What is going on? And then you find out, well, about 50% of what you give them, they pass on to charity. It's like, well, wait a second. You should have told me that up front, right? How many people would donate if you said, hey, half of what you give me is going to go to charity and the other half is going to go to our operation here and, you know, salaries and things like that. You guys are different in that way. And so that's, it's easy to get behind, you know?
No one derives a salary, not one dime. Some of the things that we do for, like right now, I'm looking for a commercial copy machine and printer that we can save money from going to Staples. And everything we do, 100%, goes back out to the charitable needs. Anything that we need comes out of our pockets or a corporate donor that if we reach out and like this, I need a copy machine. Cornell Steel in Deford, New Jersey is very generous to us. We needed a C-box to store some things for our event. And when I spoke to Delore Cornell, 2 days later, she had her company, you know, dropping off a C-box for us. So none of the money that people donate